The Lord be with you.
And with
you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. Now a man was ill, Lazarus in Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. Mary was the one who had anointed the Lord with perfumed oil and dried his feet with her hair. It was her brother Lazarus who was ill. So the sister sent word to him and saying, Master, the one you love is ill. Then Jesus heard this and said, this illness will not end in death, but it is for the glory of God, that the Son of God may be glorified through it. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. So when he heard that he was ill, he remained for 2 days in the place where he was. Then after this, he said to his disciples, let us go back to Judea. The disciples said to him, Rabbi, the Jews were just trying to stone you, and you want to go back there? Jesus answered, are there not 12 hours in a day? If one walks during the day, he does not stumble, because he sees the light of this world. But if one walks at night, he stumbles, because the light is not in him. He said this and then told them, our friend Lazarus is asleep, and I am going to awaken him. So the disciples said to him, Master, if he sleeps, he will be saved. But Jesus was talking about his death. Well, they thought that he meant ordinary sleep. So then Jesus said to them clearly, Lazarus is dead. And I am glad for you that I was not there, that you may believe. Let us go to him. So Thomas, called Didymus, said to his fellow disciples, let us also go to die with him. When Jesus arrived, he found Lazarus had already been in the tomb for 4 days. Now Bethany was near Jerusalem, only about 2 miles away. And many of the Jews had come to Mary and Martha to comfort them about their brother. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went to meet him, but Mary sat at home. Martha said to Jesus, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now I know that whatever you ask of God, God will give you. Jesus said to her, your brother will rise. Martha said to him, I know he will rise in the resurrection on the last day. Jesus told her, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, even if he dies, he will live. And everyone who believes and lives in me will never die. Do you believe this? She said to him, yes, Lord. I have come to believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, the one who is coming into the world. When she had said this, she went and called her sister Mary secretly, saying, the teacher is here, and he is asking for you. So as soon as she heard this, she rose quickly and went to him, for Jesus had not yet come into the village, but was still where Martha had met him. So when the Jews who were with her in the house comforting her saw Mary get up quickly and go out, they followed her, presuming that she was going to the tomb to weep there. When Mary came to where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet and said to him, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. When Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews had come with her weeping, he became perturbed and deeply troubled and said, where have you laid him? They said to him, sir, come and see. And Jesus wept. So the Jews said, see how he loved him? But some of them said, could not the one who opened the eyes of the blind man have done something so that this man would not have died? So Jesus, perturbed again, came to the tomb. It was a cave, and a stone laid across it. Jesus said, take away the stone. Martha, the dead man's sister, said to him, Lord, by now there will be a stench. He's been dead for 4 days. Jesus said to her, "Did I not tell you that if you believe, you will see the glory of God?" So they took away the stone. And Jesus raised his head and said, "Father, I thank you for hearing me. I know that you always hear me, but because of the crowd here, I have said this, that they may believe that you sent me." And when he had said this, he cried out in a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out." The dead man came out, tied hand and foot with burial bands, and his face was wrapped in a cloth. Jesus said to them, "Untie him and let him go." Now many of the Jews who had come to Mary and seen what he had done began to believe in him. The Gospel of the Lord.
I left the homily in the sacristy. Thank you. Today we meet a man named Lazarus, whose name in Hebrew means "God helps." He's lying ill in the town of Bethany, a word which means "the house of the afflicted," which is kind of a strange name to give to a city, right? But that's what they called it, the house of the afflicted. We're meant to see something here, of course. This is a story about all of us who are in any way afflicted and seeking the help of God. That means, of course, every one of us, because we all live in Bethany. We all live in the house of the afflicted. Whether it's physical afflictions, mental, spiritual, psychological, whatever they are, we all live in Bethany. And we're all Lazarus, because we are all seeking the help of God. So this is a story, yes, about the historical raising of Lazarus from the dead, but we're meant to identify with him. And that's true of many of the stories, especially in the Gospel of John. Hearing that Lazarus is sick, Jesus oddly does not rush to his bedside, but rather waits for 2 whole days. I'll bet all of us have experienced the frustration of this. Why, when we are so obviously in pain, does God seem to delay? Here I am, I'm Lazarus, I'm looking for God's help, I'm in Bethany, I'm in the house of the afflicted, and here's God who can help, but he doesn't come. He delays. Jesus explains this by saying that the Son of Man will be glorified through the illness and death of Lazarus. And so naturally we ask, how? In the Bible, God's glory is God's life-giving quality. That is, God is glorified in his great acts of creation and love. Saint Irenaeus said, "The glory of God is a human being fully alive." So Jesus' delay here is for God's glory, which is strongly connected with our life, because God gave us life. Something of great power is going to be revealed here, something that will give us life. Jesus announces to his disciples that Lazarus is asleep. You know, I think this whole story is about the non-finality of death. When viewed from a purely scientific or naturalistic standpoint, death is it. It's the end. It's absolute. But when viewed from the standpoint of God, death is rather something like sleeping. It is a transitional state to a greater and richer mode of existence for those who have faith. Upon arrival in Bethany, Jesus is told that Lazarus has been in the tomb for 4 days. One could hardly imagine a clearer indication of the finality and irreversibility of what has happened here, of this death. What's being implied here is that no earthly power could ever bring him back from that condition. But we were told at the beginning of the passage that Jesus loves Lazarus. And the only power greater than the power of death is the divine love with which Jesus loves Lazarus. And then Martha runs out to meet Jesus. In their conversation, she expresses her confidence in him. "Even now, I know that whatever you ask of God, God will give you." But see, her words reveal something that she hasn't quite seen to the heart of it. She still thinks of Jesus as a very great man who can ask God for miracles. But we know that he's more than that. And Jesus corrects her. "I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, even if he dies, shall live." Jesus is the divine life. Therefore, whoever clings to him, whoever lives in him, whoever is grafted onto him, will share in the life that he has. And that's the heart of this. Then comes one of the most moving scenes in the gospel, Jesus weeping. If you're very old at all, you know what it's like to weep at the death of a loved one. I think of the death of my own father 10 years ago or so. There's just that awful, awful sense of abandonment, of finality. And the human response is that we just weep in the face of this dreadful finality. And here is Jesus, who knows that he is going to raise up Lazarus. Somehow he gets caught up in the deep sadness of the moment of losing someone he loves. It's just a tragedy built into human life that death will eventually separate us from each other. It just will. I remember my father at my mother's funeral so many years before that, being struck all of a sudden, it seemed, by the full force of his loss. He was up visiting the casket of my mother, looking in at her, and something happened to him. I think he was hit with the full force of the fact that he was not ever going to see his wife of 40 years ever again in this life. And it just hit him so hard. He had an adrenaline dump. And he actually ran from the casket and jumped over a nearby pew, landing in the seat behind it, wailing loudly. Death is the central tragedy of human life. My point here is that Jesus enters into that, weeping with this convulsive grief. The translation says here that he was perturbed, but that word, the Greek behind it is splunk needs my. Perturbed is not even close to a good translation. Really, it means a gut-wrenching sadness is what splunk needs my is, such as I witnessed my father experiencing. When we are grieved down to our bones, Jesus knows what that is like. He allowed himself to go down that far today, as so many of us have, perhaps to show us that even there, he can meet us. And then Jesus approaches the tomb with Martha and Mary. There is a massive stone rolled over the entrance, another reminder of the finality of death. This is further reinforced by Martha warning the Lord not to disturb the stone because of the stench that will be released. It's another way of saying, you can't undo death. Death has its way. The stone and the smell are final. But Jesus refuses that in a loud voice. He says, "Lazarus, come out." And the dead man came out. As sort of a synopsis of the readings that we've had so far in Lent that are kind of showing up in today's gospel, from we've heard from several themes of creation throughout Lent. God created light in Genesis, remember? God says, let there be light, and there was light. It means he spoke it into existence, right? Just as he spoke everything into existence. Let there be, let there be, let there be. And then Jesus says to the man born blind, I am the light of the world. And then God fashions man out of clay in Genesis, in one of those readings. And Jesus makes a clay salve and spreads it on the blind man's eyes. Last week, I think that was. And then God separates the waters in Genesis, again by speaking. Let them be separated. And Jesus says to the woman at the well, I am the living water welling up within you. Today, that voice, the Word, is being emphasized. In the beginning was the Word, says St. John, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. This is the Word by which God makes the whole universe. The Word that effects what it says. The same Word that made the planets and the stars speaks, and with the same creative, powerful effect, the dead man comes out, tied hand and foot, and his face wrapped in a cloth. What is being said here is that God's Word incarnate in Jesus Christ is more powerful than death. That is the incredibly liberating, uplifting word we're meant to hear in this great gospel. And remember, we are Lazarus. We're in search of God's help. The gospel makes a point of saying that Jesus loved Lazarus. And we all live in Bethany, the house of the afflicted. But if we are grafted onto Christ, we will share in the life that he has to offer and become fully alive as human beings, even through physical death.